بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Our line of thinking commences from the Quran Sharif. And the Quran Sharif can only be understood by the Mubarak wordings of Hazrat Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His wordings and his actions have been transmitted to us with an unbroken chain of narrators. And if this was not in place, the wordings and the actions were not transmitted to us with an unbroken chain, in the words of Hazrat Shah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, not a single person would have known how to do the ruku correctly. Forget the entire embodiment of namaz, even just one ruku, do it correctly, exactly, can't do it. So we depend largely on the Mubarak teachings, the ways of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for us, or in order for us to get the right understanding of the Quran Sharif. The five daily namazes are spoken about in this verse, أَقِيمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ. So from the decline of the sun, declining from the zenith, that's where the namaz will start, Zuhr namaz. إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ, until the darkness of the night has fully covered. One is, it has just appeared, and one is, it has fully covered. So the full cover is when, after the red glow on the western horizon, there is a white glow, and that white glow is totally covered. We say, ufuq-e abyad. So it's totally covered. So that covers Zuhr namaz up until Isha Salah. The Qur'an al-Fajr, and special emphasis on the recitation of the Qur'an Sharif at Fajr. But then, the exact timings of Zuhr, there is no explicit mention of Maghrib, right? Asr. Then how would you have done it? If it weren't for the teaching of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how could have one done it? Then after that, the second level is, you can't possibly understand the wordings of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the Sahaba Kiram and the leading jurists. One person is asking, can he kiss his wife while she's in Ramadan Roza? No ijazat. And the other person is asking about kissing the wife in the state of Roza and full ijazat. Now, how are you going to clear this apparent contradiction? How are you going to reconcile? So now you require the jurists, Sahaba-i Kiram, and the Aimma-i Mujtahideen to make istiqra'i tam, to see the entire treasure of hadith, all the hadith, looking to the merit of the hadith, looking to every available hadith, and then see now what is the hadith pointing towards. So these people have made that effort, seen the entire research, all the hadith, with the chain of narrators, the authenticity, where there is something mentioned in brief, then to explain it in detail, and if there is a contradiction, to clear the contradiction, which was restricted to a circumstance or an individual, they saw that, so they researched everything, and then they came with answers. So then they said, alright, the kissing was allowed for an old man, I would say in my words, 90 years of age. तो और क्या करेगा? कैन डू एनीथिंग एल्स? एक दो बोस लेगा खदम, एंड इट वॉज अलाउड फॉर द पर्सन इट वॉज 19. That was I'm saying, right? They saying young and old, but I'm just for you to understand it better. 19. What is 19? He'll start off the. When what will happen? Jirik, what she will say? Little more, and then there's a proper accident, right? So no permission. But now, how much are we indebted to these Sahaba Kiram and these jurists to give us the right elucidation? Where does this apply and how does this apply? That is why Rasulullah Paksam supports it with saying, مَا يُرِيدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Then when Allah Ta'ala wishes good for anybody, He grants him the right understanding. Imam Malik Rahmatullah says, لَيْسَتْ الْإِلْمُ أَنْ كَسْرَتِ الْرِوَايَاتِ. Knowledge is not about the abundance and the volume and the treasure that you've got. إِنَّمَا هُوَ نُورٌ يَدَعُهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ. It is a light that Allah Ta'ala instills into the heart. Like without the physical eyes, you can't see, can't distinguish what is dangerous and what isn't dangerous. You can't make out, total dark, you can't make out whether it's a ditch half a meter away from you or it's a plain road. So you need the physical eyes to see danger and safety. You need the heart's eye, the eyes of the heart, understanding, reasoning, to understand what is going to be destroying your iman and what is going to be securing your iman. Without that, you can't see it. You may think it's safety, but you don't have that eyes, then you may just take the wrong step and you go on. So you see the tartib, Quran, then the hadith, sahaba kiram, and then the Aimmah Mujtahideen. This is a sequence that you follow. So from here now, you understand that there was a certain effort that was made to streamline the whole sequence, to bring about the whole sequence and understanding. And then to show and impress the goodness of the style here, so the style remained for 1400 years. And still running strong, Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad rahmatullah alayh, and their mazhabs are running strong. And those that followed their mazhabs, you see that they have a direction. They didn't go off. So that means their silsilas are very, very strong. Rasikhun, very grounded, sound ground. So the first level is the Quran Sharif. Now, when you're coming onto the topic of da'wat, then you'll see at the level of the Anbiya alayhi salam and how did they conduct themselves in da'wat. So, the person who's most discussed in the Quran Sharif is either al-Musa alayhi salam or Ibrahim alayhi salam, and they are extending the da'wat and how they go about doing it. So the da'wat then starts off from the home. It's not confined to the home, but it starts off from the home. It's wrong to say, get your home in order first and then go outside. That's wrong. Because you can't say all the Meccans had accepted Islam and then Rasulullah Paksam propagated Islam to the outer world. It started here. So he started here and then moved on. Everybody is coming on his own time. Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman coming right at the beginning. Khalid radiyallahu around the 6th, 7th year of Hijrat. And then he's coming around. And Abu Sufyan is coming around the 8th year of the Hijrat. So everybody is coming, but in his own time. So the work is going to be done. Then you look at Ibrahim alayhi salam, and then how did he work? So He did not say, now, you know, it's my father and I don't want to get into bad books. I have to respect him. I don't have to break this link and this association. It's my father after all. And I owe it, I'm indebted to him for all the favors that I enjoy. But now that didn't stop him from extending the word of Allah Ta'ala. Told him also. But in words of respect, Ya Abati, Lima Ta'abudu, Ma La Yasmu, Wala Yubsiru, Wala Yuguni Anka Shia. Ya Abati, La Ta'abudu Shaitan. Ya Abati, Inni Qad Ja'ani Min Al Ilm, Ma Lam Yatik, Fattabi'ni Ahdika Siratan Sabiya. My dear father. See the words, my dear father. Things are lifeless, they can't be of any good, they can't hear, they can't see, they can't worship these things. But his reasoning, see, he's not aggressive, he's not being rude, not using sarcasm, but he speaks to him like a gentleman, like the child that wishes well for his good father. Father, you do this, it's not going to be good. Are you at this age, you're taking sugar, you're loading it up in your tea, you know, so much loading, that rather you put the tea into the sugar bowl. So he's not being sarcastic nicely. Shame, don't worship shaitan. This is shaitanic, it's a shaitanic cult. Leave this. Until now the father had enough and says, Arahim, now I had enough. You hate my gods. You're not gonna desist. Then I'll stone you to death. And wahjurni maliya for a long time. Just leave me alone. For the rest of your life, just leave me. I don't want to see you again. Now see the politeness, the beauty, the excellence, how Ibrahim alayhi salam approaches himself, and the aggression, the impolite response that he's receiving. But with all that, he still doesn't lose his polite approach. Salamun alayk, astaghfiru laka rabbi. Still, the respect is still maintained. Salams. The different meanings of salams. The one meaning here means that I won't do anything to hurt you. I will not do anything to hurt you. Physically, emotionally, I won't do anything to hurt you. But as long as you are alive, I'll make dua and maghfirat for you. Because a kafir, he's died as a kafir, you can't make dua for him. But as long as he's alive, you can make dua for his maghfirat. With that in mind, the day that Allah Ta'ala must give him hidayat, so that he can ask for forgiveness. That's the idea, that you're asking for his forgiveness, that he comes onto hidayat, and then when he comes onto hidayat, then he has the capacity of being forgiven. But he doesn't have the hidayat of iman. Does he have the ability, or does he have the capacity of forgiveness? Doesn't have it. So as long as you are alive, I'll make dua for you. But when he died as a kafir, then he says, فَلَمَّا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ أَنَّهُ عَدُوٌ لِلَّهِ. When it became clear that this man is gone on a path of aggression, of disbelief, then he wiped his hands. Got nothing to do with you. That's the one thing that Ibrahim alayhi salam did, was to speak to his father nicely. Number two is when he was met with aggression and impoliteness, and he responded with kindness and love. Number three, he kept on making dua until the father's death. Right. Number four, what was the fourth line? See, all these are the lessons of the Anbiya alayhim salam. That's where we draw from, primarily. The fourth, a'tazilukum. Then, disbelief cannot exist with belief. See that, a'tazilukum, I'll move away. So we can't coexist. To say that we must learn to coexist, but that is now going against the lifestyle of the Anbiya. This is disbelief and this is belief. They can't coexist. In your fridge, you can't see that everything has to learn to coexist and put meat there, milk there, and put pisab, blood, and number two there. Same, you must learn to coexist. Will you have that attitude? No, you can't. You can't coexist. So, This is iman purity, and this is innamal mushrikuna najasun, it's filth. You see that? That's disbelief is filth. So when it's filth, you cannot exist with belief. So we'll be worlds apart in our ways, in our styles, in our approach, in our beliefs, in our thinking, we'll be worlds apart. But again, you look at the story again from a different perspective, right? What da'wah requires and what a Muslim requires. Every Muslim requires guidance. Every step of his life is not that I inherited guidance and that's sufficient. No. Otherwise, the Quran wouldn't have said you and instructed you to make dua for hidayat in every rakat. Isn't that a requirement? That in every rakat, you need to make dua for hidayat. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Otherwise, that what you inherit was sufficient, was the need. Tahsil hasil. Hasil ho gaya to phir talab karne ki kya zarurat. So the Quran is saying, oh, you keep on making dua for hidayat. Because you don't know. Until you haven't regenerated, you don't know that you are on guidance or not. So Allah must keep you on guidance until you have reached your destination. Right? Now, in the search of hidayat, what is required? And then there are several steps that you will take in order to search for hidayat. See, the first step is, Deen says, innama hazal ilmu deenukum. That this knowledge, information is your deen. Fanzuru. Then you see properly where you're acquiring your knowledge from. Where you're acquiring your deen from, you must see. You can't just go randomly, go here, go there, and just say, no, I'm going for deen. Otherwise, what's the meaning of the hadith? Fanzuru amman ta'akhuzuna deenukum. You better go and see who you're acquiring that information from. Otherwise, I say, let's go, there's any talk there, let's go here, radio, WhatsApp, this program, that program, let me go for every program. Can you say that? Can't say. Then there won't be any meaningful studies. فَانْزُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُزُونَ دِينَكُمْ. How important it is. One is a person who is very, very grounded, very strong. Like Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, right? So, if they'll listen to any wrong, they'll be able to differentiate the wrong from the right. Because they are at that level, they can differentiate between right and wrong. They can make it out. Right? But now, we can't compare ourselves to Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad, Rahmatullah Ali, Imam Sab, Rahmatullah Ali. We can't compare ourselves. And well, they did it, so why can't we do it? They were at a different level. Understand, you were at a different level and they were at a different level. You will work according to your level. Now, a bicycle pretends to be a rocket, right? And there's mountain range, right? One range is say 2 kilometers away from the next one. And he's got a bicycle, plastic one, right? And now he's pretending to be a rocket and shoot from this thing here. Kya hoga? He'll kill himself. He's got a transport, but is it got the capacity of flying him off from one mountain range? A rocket has got that. Imam Abu Hanifa, he could do it. Imam Shafi Ramadan, he could do it. They had that capacity, they had that strength. Otherwise, what's your work? Now, see, again, every step of the road, you need some guide. Right? So the guidance that the hadith gives, الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما مشتبهات. What is right is clear. Fish is halal. Any doubt about it? Any doubt? And wine is haram. Any doubt about it? No doubt. This is halal, this is haram. It's clear about. But in between now, you got some doubtful grey areas. Jinga khana chahiye ya nahi khana chahiye? Someone is saying it's right, someone is saying not right. My one cousin, you should say, small, about 7-8 years of age, and when you hear the Jinga story, he said, I don't know why they're making Jinga makru. So I said, Birdie is makru. Birdie, mug, masool, you see that makru. Why is he saying this? This child of 7-8 years of age, you overlook that. So now, you got a grey area. So what do you do in the face of a grey area? The teaching of the hadith is you stay away. Not that you go there and find out for yourself, no. So, the grey area, then you need to be careful. See, it's so clear, the teaching of Rasulullah is so clear. There's a shallow end, and there's a deep end. In between is a little bit shallow, a little bit deep. Right? So, what is a sensible thing to do? To go and experiment in the center, a little bit shallow and deep. Or just, if you can't swim, then just go to the shallow area, be a man enough to say that I don't know how to swim, let me be in the shallow end. Right? If you can swim, you're a good swimmer, then it's alright. But you're not a good swimmer, and you want to go and experiment. You want to listen to this, and you want to listen to that. And the other one, WhatsApp, and social media, and some bayan here, some radio coming up this side here, you want to experiment. So, have you got the immunity and security to say that, no, I'm safe, I can read, I can see, I got my knowledge, I got understanding. Have you got that? You don't have that. You have that, it's a different thing, but you don't have that, then say, I don't have that. So then, the directive of Rasulullah, see what he says, first then you stay away. Don't you worry, don't experiment. See, now this is being supported by so many hadiths. See, now, it would seem like, from the words of Al-Mu'assan, Purisab, etc., Rahmatullahi, when they're quoting the hadith of fitna, duhayma, right? About the last fitna. Duhayma will mean black, darkness, right? So, now, as we're moving on, the blackness and the darkness is becoming more clear. It's more evident. Things are becoming more grey. You can't see, you can't make out. It's becoming so grey. Before you could still see, and now things are becoming so grey, so clouded that you can't see. So when it's becoming clouded, then what are you supposed to be doing? Right? So there's a lot of directives in the hadith. So there's one direction about the Dajjal, right? So we're approaching that time, and what is the direction that Rasulullah has given us about the Dajjal? When Samiya ani Dajjal fal yan anhu. Proximate words of the hadith, without Sharif. You hear about Dajjal, keep away. Because there'll be a person, yahsibu annahu mu'minun. He'll feel that I got iman, I got understanding, knowledge. And he goes up there and he gets caught up. See, he goes up there and he gets caught up. Because the type of things that he's got the strength to command the clouds to rain. The lands to give vegetation. Right? He's got the ability to command the treasure of the earth to fly with him. Like bees that are flying with him. He's got that ability. Now a person, see, hey man, see. You can see all this. The action is here. The action is here. Let's go with the person. See? So he's got iman. He's got understanding of deen. He says he's an alim. But when he sees this, he's caught up. So what's the direct of the hadith? The direct of the hadith, فَلْيَنْأَ عَنْهُ. Then you keep away. You don't go and experiment. That's it. There's a shallow end. There's a deep end. In between is, you're looking at from one side, it looks deep. One side, it looks shallow. So what are you supposed to be doing? Keep away. You don't know what's going to happen. You experiment with your life. Yeah, you're experimenting with your iman. Both are dangerous. To experiment with your iman is dangerous. To experiment with your life is also dangerous. So, you keep away. Hadith saying, just keep away. Arwahe Salasa is one reputable kitab of our elders, right? All the stories of the pious, etc. They're dating up to about 2-3 centuries before us. All incidents, stories recognized. It's around the time of the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he's now the final authority after his father to all people of Dioban. He's the final authority. So every person will consider it to be an honor to be linked up to him. The shorter the link, the more honorable, the more precious. You have just four links between you and Shabdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi. So everybody want to come take sanat from you. So now you've got, it's the time of the Shabdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullahi. And Delhi is flooding with bid'at. Right? In the meanwhile, there is one bid'ati peer, Sahib. And he's got a huge following. Very, very great following he's got. But he's bid'ati. And people are flocking up to him. He's thrown a challenge against the Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. The Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib Rahmatullah Ali had not yet responded. And one student of the Shah Sahib, the Shah Sahib and his student, can you imagine how great, how that Ali must have been. He said, no, I'll take him. I'm not a woman, I'll go take him off. See that? Shah Sahib didn't give him his blessings. Shah Sahib didn't send him, but he felt, no, I am an alim, I'm strong, I'm the student of the Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi, I got the muscle, I got the clout, let me go and take him face to face. Why be like a weird lady? Don't be like a lady, go and take him face to face. So this is in Al-Waw Salas, Al-Waw Sahib mentions it. I don't know how many times I heard it from Hazraji Rahmatullahi, same story. Meanwhile, comes to the Shah, his name was Naseem, right? Peer Sahib, a big following. Naseem is the Peer Sahib. And he made out what was the reason for his coming. He wants to debate, engage. So the Shah Naseem Sahib tells him, see, you came so far, sweltering heat of Delhi, temperatures are running really high, 45, 50 degrees. You want to rest a bit. Aram, at ease, then we discuss. What's the hurry? So you've got a charpai for him, a bed for him, and he's sleeping. Someone is fanning him. He's resting nicely, aired nicely, and he's getting fanned, he's sleeping. So, 2 hours or something, he rested. And as he got up, an alim, Shah Sahib student, as he got up, the first words that are coming out of his mouth, Hazrat, apne haath ke upar mujhe bayat ke liye qubool kar rahe. Accept me for bayat at your hands. You know me, there's no namaz ever by me. You know about that. So I know all about that. Just accept me for bayat. No, just think about it again. Oh, no, Hazrat, immediately, immediate effect, just take me, accept me. You know, we go free with women, all that, womanizing, you know, drinking, womanizing, all that, we do all that. Hazrat, just accept me. Now, this Peer Sahib, Naseem Peer Sahib, this is Pakwan Charao. Pakwan is like, when you're celebrating an event, then you make a sweet dish. Like how, you know, when there's a nikah, you give something sweet. The entrance, you give a Kit Kat or whatever, give something, right? So, Pakwan Charao. It's a celebrative mood. Today is celebration. We've got a great alim here. And he's coming to our fold. He's coming to our circle. So now it's an occasion to celebrate. In the meanwhile, the Shah Naseem Sahib tells him, see, it's a festive moment. It's a joyous moment. Can you take one dish to your Ustad Shah Abdul Aziz Sahib? He said, oh, sure, whatever you say. You command me. Take to my Ustad, I'm taking it. You must just command me. Where he started off from, and see where he ended up. Where he started off, and where he ended up. So, you cannot say he didn't have the knowledge. You cannot say that he didn't go with the right intentions. But then, in that small moment, what happened to the person? Yes, capsized. Why capsized? Al-halalu bayyinun, wal-haramu bayyinun. Both are clear. This is, halal is clear. Haram is clear. In between, you've got some grey areas. So the grey areas, you abstain from. Whether it is jinga, whether it is prawns, whether it is the person, whether it is a program, whether it is something coming on the air, whether it's something coming on your social media, whether it's a so-called a dini program, but you just keep away. Don't you get into this. You can't say, no, I'll just look at the good and take the good. Can't say that. This person also looking at the good. He went with good intentions. What happened after that? Allah protect us. Nobody is secure. So we're coming towards the fitna of Dajjal. And this fitna of Dajjal is telling you that it will have a very glossy front. And you go and experiment and you're going to fall. So you just keep away. Don't go near it. You don't have that immunity. You don't have that level of protection to guard yourself. So why must you pretend to be someone that is very, very secure and sound? You just keep away, keep to the safety area. See the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How sound it is, how great it is. Right. Then now you look, alright, someone is saying now it's like a difference between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, it's a difference. So all is alright, it's just a difference of opinion. Yeah, if it conforms to certain criteria, you will say it's a difference of opinion. Right? But if it doesn't conform to that criteria, like the Hanafis, they are following Maturidiyah, right? Maturidiyah. Shafis are following Abu Hassan Ash'ari, right? So, in their qaid, if it's conforming with this criteria, then it's all right. In your beliefs, if it's keeping within this parameter, it's all right. But if it's beyond the parameter, then you can't call it a Shafi Hanafi difference. Can you call it? It's unfair. So now look at it. Is it conforming with that criteria, or is it going out of that criteria? If it's conforming with that criteria, it's all right. Very good. He's saying, all right, say the Ameen loudly. Alright, he says read softly, and you're seeing now clearly that it's conforming with the criteria. When it's conforming with the criteria, you're making the Imam as well, because it's conforming with the criteria of Maturidiyah or Abu Hassan Ash'ari rahmatullahi, all Imams in Aqaid and belief. But if it's going beyond that, then see now that in their Sharaid, all these people Sharaid, Maturidiyah, Abu Hassan Ash'ari, they all are saying that min sharait, means the sharait, adamu tafsiq is sahaba, that you cannot criticize and condemn any sahabi, but you cannot criticize, label, run down any sahabi. Now that is one level, right? But if it is now, it's reaching a level where we're condemning sahaba kiram, Usman radhiyallahu anhu is under attack, right? Then you're looking above. Then Anbiya alayhi salam are being attacked. Musa alayhi salam is being attacked. Sulaiman alayhi salam is being attacked. Yusuf alayhi salam is being attacked. Right? So, is there the conformity with this standard? Standard is, forget the Anbiya. Let alone the Anbiya. Even the Sahaba kiram, you're not going to criticize and condemn them. Now, when the criticism is on the Sahaba kiram, then above them is the Anbiya, and there is a criticism against the Anbiya alayhi salam, then it's far beyond the parameter. Then we cannot say it's a Shafi Hanafi difference. It's far beyond that. And so that is why, see, Darul Deoband in India, Pakistan, then they are like the standard. Especially if they agree on something. Deoband, Sahanpur, and they agree on something. And that's the standard that the whole world goes by. The Deoband went by it, Sahanpur went by it, same standard they went. So then that's the standard that the whole world will maintain. Because by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, Deoband had the highest levels of the Shaykhul Hadith, highest levels of Muftiyan Kiram, and highest levels in taqwa. So if you look at hadith, then Shah Ni'matullah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, even Sheikh Awama respects him. The world respects Sheikh Awama, but Sheikh Awama respects that Ni'matullah Sahib. He says, you are even higher than me. So, at present you can't find a person at that level. So this whole consensus in Deoband. Then you look at Saharanpur, there's a consensus on that side as well. All. They have written an article that this man, the words that they are using, is going out of the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat. Yeah, Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat se hat rahe hai. He's moving out of the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat. Then they say that unke kalam mein, in his speech, tanqees e sahaba aur anbiya ho rahi hai. There's condemning of anbiya and sahaba e kiram. Right? So, condemning, and then they're saying he's going out of the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat. And then they say, yeh bari gumrahi ki baat hai. And this is going off the track, going off the course. Now, do you need any other additional information? This is the ulama of the world. And they are supported by Al-Mawla Salimullah Khan Sahib from Pakistan. Mawla bi tanbihi, he also warned. So Pakistan is saying it, India is saying it, and nearly all the senior ulama of Bangladesh are endorsing that. So it's endorsed by the senior ulama of Bangladesh, of Darul Deoband, Saharanpur, and of Pakistan. They're all saying the same thing, that he must come on. And the way that he must come on is obvious, right? So, you see, you made a wrong, committed a wrong, then the correction must be proportionate to the wrong that you have done. I robbed you for 1,000 rands, and I'm paying you 10 rands back. So, you know, I retracted, I give you back. Is that retraction right? If I robbed you for 1,000, then I must return 1,000. So now you come to this picture again now. Now what's going on here is, you know, you say half a fact is worse than a lie. So yes, there was a retraction, right? But was it complete? You know, I stole 1,000 rands, I'm returning 10 rands. Is that calling refunding and discharging my debt? No, can't see that. There must be a full retraction. The full retraction will be like this, that if I made a statement to a huge audience, hundreds and thousands of people, right, then I can't make a retraction in front of 20 people in Kakrel Masjid and say I made a retraction, 20, 100 people there, so I made a retraction. Is that fair? No. I made a claim, I made a statement in the presence of hundreds of thousands of people, so many people there, and I'm making a retraction sometimes in a limited capacity in Nizamuddin or in Kakrel Markaz, and then people are saying that he made a retraction. Is that right? So the right thing for his supporters was to say simply, why the doors of Toba are open, why don't you make a clear retraction, writing, publicize it, and it's all the world, publicize it full, right? Publicize it. When the Anbiya alayhim salam, when they stumbled, right, and their stumbling was not prompted by nafs and shaitan. It was the love for Allah Ta'ala. Like you see sometimes, reading 3 rakats or 5 rakats for asr. So it wasn't prompted out of nafs and shaitan. What Allah say? That Rasulullah SAW in that namaz, he read 5 in place of 4. Rakat in Asr is consumed by love, and is so consumed that he forgot the count of rakats. So the mistake, I say, is it prompted by shaitan or by nafs? No, it's prompted by love. But Allah wants that the love will be guided. So now the namaz has to be corrected. So Sada Sahu is done and namaz is corrected. But this is not a fatwa now, right? The maslak was some detail. I'm just showing you what happened here. So, but what was it prompted by? Love. Love for who? Love for the right reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in place of this, so consumes one rakat. Gangodi was on Buzurg, and I was making sajda, and I think going to 2 minutes, 3 minutes, all the musallis are shouting. So they asked him, what's wrong with you? He said, when I'm in sajda, then I'm begging Allah Ta'ala, let me see Subhanahu Rabbi Al-A'la one more time, please, man. Please, I want to say one more time. And just take my soul away like that. And that thing is so consuming. So is it for the wrong reason or for the right reason? At that moment, he's consumed by love. So their mistakes are not like our mistakes. Our mistakes are all nafs and shaitan, woman and wealth. And their mistakes are prompted by love. Love, fikr, concern for the ummah, and that's what prompts the mistakes. Right. Now coming again, right, to this Deoband Sahanpur, right, and Bangladesh, Pakistan. So they say, make an open retraction. Not a difficult thing. Anbiya alayhi salam could do it. So why can't we do it? Open. Publicize it. The whole world must know it. Bangladesh, whole world must know it, know about it. We can open retraction. So there's no ambiguity. And Deen once said, Al halalu bayyinun, wal haramu bayyinun, that stay away from ambiguity. Deen once said. Now, you're not going to clarify the whole thing, it's going to add to the ambiguity. So it's a simple procedure, just go and clear it up. So I contacted Deoband myself. In all this commotion, I contacted Deoband. I asked Deoband now, but why aren't you accepting the retraction? So the first response was, ask him, why are you asking us? So my friends, I can speak to that, right? Then they gave me the whole rundown. I said, let me go to the source and find out why haven't they accepted the retraction. Right. So they're saying, see, the first time he apologized for the mistake, we complimented him, we respected him, wrote a lot of compliments. Now the letter is hand-delivered, and midway, this man is repeating the same words. You understand? He is speaking against Musa alayhi salam. The letter of compliments is going back to Nizamuddin. Midway the man is repeating the same words against Musa alayhi salam. Now do you want to phone the messenger? But he just brings that letter back. Otherwise could have been problems now. Can you understand the complication? What can happen after that? Because Deoband will go and announce it. And then people come and say, but you didn't listen to what he said this morning. Can you see the problem? So Deoband brought it to his attention. Again with respect. For 1-2 years, Deoband just tolerated. He tried to negotiate. Just talked to him like a gentleman, but he ignored. Until the complaints were flooding. Now you see, Deoband is a very central place. You all haven't seen the Darul Ifta in Deoband, how it works. To know how it works, you know, what a gigantic task it is, you have to be there to understand what it is. So he said, no, I've been maaf and been mistaken. So they accepted again. When they accepted now his letter of apology comes like this. I'm sorry for the words. But then in the next line he says, but I'm disgusted. A senior ulama of your caliber, I'm disgusted at your behavior, that you have false suspicions against a person like me. See that? See the first sentence? I apologize. But then, Nihayat afsos ki baat, that's his word. I'm very much disgusted that senior ulama like you have got suspicions against a person like me. Right? And then he ends up, he says, and for the statements I've made, I have got all references for it. Now, can you call this a retraction? See, are you going to quote, misquote, half quote, underquote? I say, whoever is doing that, then he is going to bear the consequence on the day of Qiyamah for misleading the Ummah. Say it as it were. Contact Deoband if you have the heart. Right? And if you don't have the heart, then read up what they have written. In several kitab, they have written all these things. Yes? Well, read it up. But now, misquote, that's wrong. See, unsur akhaka zaliman kana o muslooman. But we are taught, help your brother out. Whether he's a zalim, whether he's an oppressor, or he's being oppressed, help him out. Alright, if he's oppressed, we know how to help him. But if he's an oppressor, then how you help him? Then stop him from the zulm. Stop him from the wrong. Now, are you stopping the man from the wrong? Or are you encouraging him, making stories for him? What are you doing? So won't you be an accomplice to the wrong? He's doing a wrong, and you're making a false interpretation. for the wrong that he's doing. So are you an accomplice to the wrong or not? Are you an accomplice to the wrong? Then you must also bear the brunt. You can't get away from Allah Ta'ala then. Kullum ati yawm al-qiyamati farda. You will come bare alone. Understand the consequence of what you're doing. So the right thing is, hold his hand, pull him out from the wrong statements that he's making. Stop him. Not to support him to carry on and continue. That was the second retraction. Then he apologized for the third time. And the woman is still tolerating. I'm surprised, you know. I look at my threshold of tolerance, and looking at their threshold of tolerance, hey, it's a major thing, right? See the second reply. The third response is, you're holding me for a slip of the tongue. A slip of the tongue is, you know, like what? You know, say, she sells seashells. That's a slip of the tongue. And here the man is talking here 20 minutes bayan all up against Musa al-Islam. Can you call it a slip of a tongue? Can you write it as a slip of a tongue? I'm contacting the human directly. Nobody knows about it. I'm in contact with the human directly. I'm asking what happened. Tell me the full story. So I got some taluk with some people, the senior people, so I got the whole story. Third time, he made a retraction. Then the fourth time he made a retraction. I made a retraction. Now what happened the fourth time? The fourth time was, he was not allowed to go to Bangladesh. Somehow he used influence and he got to Bangladesh. But in Bangladesh there was a big, huge protest against him. Somehow they escorted him, they brought him from a small masjid, Kakira they call it. And some of his supporters, 150 further, they did, and he made a retraction there. Now I made a retraction now. So I think it's that fair. You made those statements in the presence of hundreds and thousands of people. Retraction in front of 150 people. Is that fair? For all those people whose minds have been polluted, mesmerized, indoctrinated the wrong way, what's going to happen to their mind? In that public, from that public platform, one make a whole retraction. I'm sorry about this. I won't do this again. Then I ask again, alright, four retractions, and then two you didn't accept. I'm inciting them, right? I will get information. So I say, yes, we still didn't accept. I said, why? He says, they're saying now, in every speech of his, there's a new ijtihad that's coming out. If he left out the Sahaba Kiram, now he's talking about all the people that are engaged in deen, right? Deen-i khidmat, deen-i service, that they are worse than prostitutes. The earnings are worse than prostitutes. Prostitutes will go to Jannah before him. Now the hadith is misquoted. Because the hadith is talking about dunat, and he's talking, made it zunat. Those that know Arabic, leave it to them, right? That's a misquote, number one. Number two is not at the level. See, the hadith also, it's a science on itself. So you have to look at the level of authenticity. So it's not an authentic, reliable hadith. They got muttaham bil kizb. And they got, besides muttaham bil kizb, they got kazab. Person that's reporting is a big liar. And now you using this hadith, which is saying that he's a big, major liar, right? The report is a major liar, and label all the people from Abu Bakr to the ulama today. Because Abu Bakr also took a stipend from the Baitul Mal. So what happened to him? That means, hey, what is the amount to? That you're rather going to prostitution, you're going to Jannah better before than Ali. Isn't that the lazimi natija? So all these people, Abu Bakr, everybody was wasting time cutting grass. Then today's man has to teach the Sahaba Kiram, Khulafa'i Rashidin, Ulama'i Kiram, Imam Bukhari, everybody has to teach them deen. This man understood it, and all these people failed to understand. Shumona, now, is enough now. I don't need any more reflection. Because I understand now what's happened. Because now, if nobody is going to announce this reflection, what's going to happen? Every second, third talk, and he's coming out with some new idea. He doesn't have that ability to make ijtihad, to extract laws, is something that is a special gift. Like you say, the ability to learn hadith, right? It was given to Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi. Right? He had an ability. So now, he is not writing down. Now, let's give one, let's isolate incident now, from Imam Bukhari, to make you understand the level of his retention ability. Everybody are writing, you're not writing. So you're wasting time. Bukhari, you're wasting time. Everybody's writing down, and you're not writing down. So Imam Bukhari just ignored them first time. So they kept on. Now, student to student, how they'll eat your head. Alright, bring your kitabs, wherever you've recorded. In one sitting, 15,000 hadith he reported. And they had to correct all the manuscripts. 15,000 years, we know this 15,000. It's like three Quran studies. And he got it. And they had to correct themselves. Now, today someone comes up and says, I'm like Imam Bukhari, what do you say? Go. So the ability given to Imam Abu Hanifa was even greater than Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi. Because to be an Imam, you need to know at least about 300,000 hadith. Not 15,000, 300,000 hadith. Sanadan wa matanan, jarhan wa ta'dilan. You need to know so much of hadith in order to be an Imam in fiqh and jurisprudence. And now if someone say like, I'm Abu Hanifa, and I can do the same thing, I can deduce myself. And he's gone off. So this is what he's doing. He's bringing himself to the level where he feels that he can deduce directly from the hadith, from the Quran Sharif, from the Quran and the hadith. What are you going to say now? So, you know, the threshold of the Diobandi tolerance, I think, is too much. They tolerated and they tolerated. And the words also, you know, so refined words. I'm trying to be refined, but I can't be at the level of Diobandi. So refined words, so polite words. But they said it clearly, that he's moving off the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. They said clearly that he's making ijtihad. They said clearly that he's criticizing, condemning the Anbiya, Sahaba-i Kiram, radiyallahu anhum, right? And then to make it worse, then they're saying it clearly that the awliya, they didn't do khidmat of deen. Understand? They didn't do khidmat of deen, awliya, they pious, they read the namaz and all that, but they didn't do the khidmat of deen. So therefore, the nusrat of Allah Ta'ala didn't come to them. Came to the Anbiya, Siddiqeen and Shuhada. They did khidmat. The Salihin, they didn't do. Awliya, they didn't do it. I ask you, in one journey of Hazrat Mu'inuddin Chishti rahmatullah alayhi, from Delhi to Calcutta, approximately 3 million people accepted Islam. So they were wasting time there. They're wasting time. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya, right? Awliya. Hundreds of thousands of Delhi people, royals, monarchs, rulers accepted Islam at his hands. So they didn't do any khidmat of deen. So now see the claims that are being made. He said no. And then it went on, that article goes on. He said, these people here, they cause harm to deen. Maybe it's not his word, the actual leader's word, but the people that are very close to him, they made this word. That they caused harm to deen. We'll have to exhume them from the graves and fix them up. See the words. Now I got all these things here, direct I got it. We'll have to, these are words, what? Hame unko kabar se uthana padega. To exhume them from the graves and sort them out. You understand the words? So, these things here, I said, let me go get it from the source itself, straight. I don't want to get it second hand, third hand. Let me go the human straight and get it directly from them. Say you. And then all these people, these luminaries, I said, the greatest, even Sheikh Awama respects this Muhammad Ni'matullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. And now, they signed for it. Mawla Arshad Madani, he signed for it. Mawla Abul Qasim, Mufti Abul Qasim Sahib, he signed for it. Right? Mawla Mufti Sayyid Palampuri Sahib, he signed for it. Mawla, I don't know how many dozens of ulama of Dioban, Sanpur, all of them signed. Now can you say that all these senior people connived on life, they got a vendetta against him? You know, can you say that they got a vendetta? Can you say that? It's wrong to say that. Obviously, you're not being fair. The whole world is respecting these people for their maqam in ilm, for their maqam in authenticity, in reliability, the whole world. And today, now, we novices, amateurs, you see, you know, just go. And then, if you get trapped, one word you hear, and that word strikes your mind, and then your whole belief structure is affected, right? Who's going to be responsible? Say, no, I didn't tell you to go and listen to everything. So you must go and verify by the common person that goes to your bayan. I ask you, Does he go with that mind that I will go and check up? He'll go and just take whatever. Whatever is given to him, he'll take. He doesn't have the time and the ability to go and cross-check the references. He doesn't have the ability to examine the references. He doesn't have the ability. Because that's usul. Mashallah, you go there. A public invitation. I say, is that right? Is that fair to the ummah? Especially when the hadith says, al-halalu bayyinun, wal-haramu bayyinun. The hadith is giving a proper directive. It's a grey area. Just keep away. Don't go and experiment in a grey area. And we are saying, no, go there. Wrong, then you must go and correct yourself and find out. Is that right? I ask you, is that right? You know, it's abundantly clear. It's so clear. I ask you, a person that is sane in his mind, will he go to a bar to buy mineral water? Oh, let's not talk about Sprite, because is that a ikhtilaf about cold drinks, right? Coke and Sprite. Let's talk of mineral water, right? No ikhtilaf in that, right? No mineral. Especially if it comes from Miranda's what? Miranda's, yeah. That's the best water, right? It's coming from there, no doubt about it, right? But will you go into a bar to buy that? Why? It's abundantly clear that it's a place, it's an area of doubt. When it's an area of doubt, why just keep away? It's so clear that he's saying, just keep away. Fanzuru, one is that. Fanzuru amman ta'khudhun. Before you go and take something from that person, go and see the person's credentials. See what he is like. See how sound, how grounded, how authentic, how reliable. The senior ulama of the time, what do they have to say about the person? Right. So, you know, it's one man, you can't now just take, just leave the person, the whole crowd because of one man. I ask you, be fair to yourself. Be fair to yourself, right? When you say that, because the whole crowd would echo the sentiments of the leader. They'll be carrying out the message of the leader. You're going, this Jamaat, Abu Hazrat said this. Don't we have the same, Hazrati said this, someone says, don't we have that? So the whole crowd will be mesmerized by the wordings of the leader. Listen, the leader said this, so we must go like that. They'll be saying the same thing. Otherwise, if he is really corrupt, if he is really wrong, then I ask you a simple question, then why do you ally yourself to him? Why don't you ally yourself to Qadiani or to Maududi or to Salafi? Why don't you ally? So if he's corrupt, then why are you aligning yourself to the person? That means you are respecting a bidati. And the hadith says that you respect a bidati, فَقَدْ أَعَانَ عَلَىٰ هَدْمِ الدِّينِ. You have supported the demolition of deen. See how clear? You have supported demolishing the deen. Allah Akbar.